Hello, everybody. This is Burt Middleton, the Gout Killer, and it is 12 o'clock straight up noon here in Denver, Colorado, and I hope it's as beautiful a day wherever you are as it is here. A little bit overcast, but geez, man, it's been like summertime here in Denver for the last several days. So, first of all, we're going to talk about does chlorine have anything to do with causing gout, and that's kind of what the topic is going to be. But first of all, I want to apologize. I've been so busy with kind of a whole new project and a whole new thing going on that I have not gotten the last 2 weeks of the conference calls up on the website, on the blog. So if you go to the page on thegoutkiller.com and you click on the little tab that says Gout Killer TV at the top, there are a few links that take you directly to a whole list of all the past conference calls and all the Google Hangouts and a few of the different events, live events that I've done over the past few months, and there's another one coming up in a couple weeks. But I just wanted to apologize. I am trying to get that all worked out and done this weekend to have all of those things up, so please bear with me. I appreciate your patience. But as far as what we were going to talk about today being does chlorine cause gout, you know, I don't think that we could say directly chlorine causes gout. But do I think that it probably plays a hand in being a contributing factor? I think that there are a lot of things to consider as far as that goes. And that's why I kind of wanted to make it the topic of this week's call. To begin with, here's the way that I want to throw it out there and present it to you, is that, first of all, we should be thankful for chlorine in our water, because a long time ago, I think it was typhoid fever around the beginning of last century, they had so much problem with water being compromised and people getting typhoid fever and, you know, lots and lots of people dying. And chlorine kind of came to the rescue. I mean, it kind of kills off all the bacteria. It disinfects the water and it makes it safe for us to drink. And it's usually in quantities that are not directly harmful to our health. But when it comes right down to it, chlorine is a poison and it kills stuff. And that's both the good and bad side of it. The important thing is that we have relatively safe water in this great country of ours that we should be very, very thankful for. But as far as like actually drinking chlorine, I think we should take it out before we drink it. And so what ends up happening is lots of us drink chlorinated water. And when you drink that chlorinated water, the way that our gastrointestinal system actually is supposed to work is through the fact that we have many, many colonies. That's kind of why they call the colon the colon. There are colonies of good beneficial bacteria that help our whole process. So as far as that whole process goes, you know, when we put chlorine in the water, we actually are trying to kill off bacteria, and if we drink it, then we're actually killing off good bacteria. And that's kind of where the problem can start with gout, as far as not breaking down proteins very well that then later on become a problem for the kidneys to then be able to get rid of the excess uric acid. And I've talked about that a lot in past phone calls, so you know, and all kinds of blog posts and everywhere. You know, gout is kind of starts with not dealing with our proteins, therefore the purines, therefore metabolizing into uric acid. That's kind of the starting point. And then when there gets to be too much uric acid, it's the kidney's responsibility to know how much and how little to keep on a moment-to-moment basis, because believe it or not, uric acid is actually a very important antioxidant that our bodies produce. It helps to protect the inside of our blood vessel linings. So that's kind of the starting point of what's going on with why chlorine may not be or may actually be a contributing factor to gout. But then the other part of it is what a lot of people don't think about is that as far as chlorine goes, I mean, we can drink it, but maybe an even greater way that too much poisonous chlorine can get into our bodies is by taking a shower in chlorinated water. And what is funny to think about is that many different things make it to the inside, make it to our inner environment through not only what we put in our mouths, but also what we breathe and what goes right through our skin. So there's a whole other thing to consider in regards to chlorinated water, and that is we're taking a hot shower, all of our pores are wide open, the blood vessels are just under, you know, they're part of the skin, basic skin. And so all of these pores are open, and we've got all this hot chlorinated water just soaking, chlorine just soaking right through the pores in our skin and getting into our bloodstream. And if you don't, if that's a hard concept for you to imagine, you know, just think about how many pharmaceutical drugs are now being delivered transdermally, i.e., the patch. That's the way that works. And you know, that's actually. Instead of like having to go through the digestive system and the digestive system having a chance to break down some of those toxic chemicals, transdermally, you know, having stuff soak right through our skin is basically it bypasses the liver and the whole digestive system. So it goes right into the blood. Very toxic in that way. But the other thing, evidently, is that when you're taking a shower, like a 10-minute hot shower in chlorinated water, it's as if you've drank. It's as if you had drank. I believe it's eight ounce glasses of water, of chlorinated water. That's the. You get the same amount of chlorine, making it to your inner environment. So that, in and of itself, the way that it gets into our lungs and then gets into our bloodstream, again, is that a direct like. You take a hot shower with chlorinated water and it causes a gout attack? No, but is it contributing to the breakdown of how well we respirate, how well we take in fresh oxygen and then expel carbon dioxide? And that is the biggest way that we maintain proper acidity in our bodies, through our respiration alone. That's the main way. So just letting the chlorine, that poisonous substance, get into our body in whatever manner is not particularly working in the direction of staying healthy and keeping ourselves out of gout. So that was a big, long ramble about chlorine. So if anybody wants to jump in and add to that conversation, ask some questions, please feel free. Jump in. Or not, I must have explained it so incredibly well. Nobody has any questions.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll
chime in. This is David Freund over here in Oceanside, sunny.
Hey, David.
Hey, very good, man. Chlorine sucks. I mean,
yes, it does.
You know, you're right. Our skin is an open organism, and it's the largest organism in our body, and what we put on it goes in it. But I think I've learned also about chlorine and showers is, you know, when you get to take a hot shower, you come out and you're all kind of like dead, you know, you're all drained. Well, that's because it's 100 times worse to breathe that steam, because that steam is chlorinated as well. And it gets into your lungs, and it just kind of like zaps you. So
exactly.
That's one thing that I've learned is it's worse if you have a nice, hot, steamy shower.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like it feels good on your bones and on your muscles, but, you know, there's a downside to it, yeah.
Well, years ago, the EPA even stated that chlorine is one of the major reasons for hardening of the arteries. It's not like you're going to take a shower today and freaking have a heart attack tomorrow. You know, it's an accumulation factor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm really big on shower filters. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, exactly. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I meant to say. So I tell everybody, like, okay, you don't. If you take a hot shower in chlorinated water, you know, it's bad for you. So, but I didn't really say anything about how do you deal with that. So, thank you, David, for bringing that up. Yeah,
well,
it's all about those pretty simple shower filters that we can get.
Yeah, if you can't afford a whole house system, which is the best, obviously, you know, a shower filter. I mean, I can put a plug in, if I may. Of course, I've always tried to put plugs in. Because I know enough to be dangerous about a lot of things.
Okay.
You know, I've plugged into this company that has one of the best shower filters in the world, and it not only cleans all the chlorine byproducts, you know, the blood worms, all that stuff, it ionizes and it restructures. So it's really a fabulous shower filter.
Nice. So you have some kind of a website. I'm sure I've been on your website before, but I can't remember the URL. What is your website?
Yeah, well, this one, well, I'm just an affiliate for this product. I mean, it's the Essential Water and Air, and he deals with water and air purification and a lot of different products such as quantum physics and EMF, EMR protection, just a bunch of cool stuff. But 12 years ago or more, I bought like 20 shower filters because I was so into it that I wanted to give them away and sell them to all my friends and family and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I did that, and I became a distributor, of course. But it's the URL is ewater.com/got-ewater. It's like got milk.
Uh-huh. Okay.
ewater.com/got-ewater.
Cool. So that's your distributor site.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of, his name is Fred Van Loo, and he's got a lot of great articles. If you pull up the article section, you know, there's a couple of them on chlorine and about drinking chlorine and, you know, all about nursery water and genotoxicity and chloramines and stuff like that. I mean, he's a madman.
Awesome. Yeah.
A lot of good information on there. A lot of good information.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad that we put it out there. I mean, it's like the more information we have out there and the more we kind of help each other get the information we need, you know, we're all going to be healthier and happier and, you know, kind of a big thing that I'm trying to promote through. I mean, the funniest thing to me is how we get unhealthy and we get unhappy. You know, our relationships suffer. And, you know, when you're in pain, you don't feel like talking to anybody. When you're in pain, you get depressed. And, you know, if that goes on for too long, you know, you kind of lead a miserable life. So, you know, it's not just about how much gout hurts. It's like how much is it messing up your life, you know, in so many different ways. So, you know, thank you, David, for, you know, jumping on the call again. You've been on some of the other ones. And, man, we've had some great conversations about EMFs and about earthing or grounding. And, you know, now this whole conversation about water and chlorine and what we can do about it, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about it.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I pain is pain. It's a pain for sure, but so, you know, I've been through enough pain like yourself to not want to be in pain and just try to do everything and every little thing that we can do to stay away from pain is definitely a good thing.
Yeah. Could you give out that website again?
Yeah, it's ewater.com.
Ewater?
Yeah, just plain E, just E-W-A-T-E-R.
ewater.com/got-ewater,
like got milk. I've got this thing about God. I don't know what it is. My kid laughs at me. But
that /.ewater?
/got, G-O-T,
oh, E-water. Got. Okay, okay.
Yes, like got milk.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of cool, interesting articles, you know, a lot about chlorine, chloroform, you know, negative chaos and just a bunch of stuff.
Cool. Awesome. Well, so anybody else want to add to the conversation? Question? Anything more? Feel free. And otherwise, you know, my idea has always been to kind of try to make these just a quick noon hour kind of a phone call. But if we have more to talk about, I'm happy to keep going. But if there's nothing else, I'm just...
I have a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is Mick.
Oh, hey, Mick.
Hey, so if I'm listening to you and health about chlorine in the water for a shower, which I've been aware of forever, haven't done anything about it, but you know I need to. But if you belong to a health club that has a sauna, they're running city chlorinated water, at least in my city, through there. That's really bad, isn't it? To sit in.
I think that there is a lot of potential. It is exactly what we're talking about. I mean, where we're at here in Denver, we moved down from the mountains and we took a little apartment here, and they have this fantastic gym and pool and hot tub and everything. And, man, that hot tub, it's like after I've taken a hot tub and I hang up my swim trunks and walk into the bathroom after they've dried, the whole bathroom smells like chlorine.
Yeah.
So I've kind of went, you know, this isn't any good. So yeah, I mean, between all the chemicals they can put in, or you know, the municipal water supplies, yeah, it's probably not the best thing.
Yeah. Well, a steam room. Yeah. The steam room's at a very high temperature, and they're putting steam in there from water from a city water supply.
Wow.
Are you sweating enough for the chlorine and the fluoride not to go in, or is it going in anyway when it opens your pores?
Well, I think you're breathing it is probably the
problem. Oh, you're breathing it, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Shouldn't use them.
Yeah, it doesn't sound, you know, a lot of those, a lot of municipalities and swimming pools, especially higher end places that, you know, people are starting to complain about and understanding this whole chlorine thing. There are alternatives to disinfecting the water that are more natural. I know we had a place up in Salida, kind of a big aquatic center, and I forget what they did, but they stopped using bromine and chlorine and, you know, all of those different chemicals. I'm not even up on what they all are. But there was a different substance that was not as toxic or not toxic that they were using that was much easier and much, much more conducive to good health. So there are alternatives.
So one alternative would be a sauna, would it not, rather than a steam room?
Well, you know, if they have a sauna and they have to steam water, I would be kind of surprised if some of those saunas, or maybe it might even be a requirement, the water gets filtered before it then gets turned into steam. And a lot of times those kind of steaming type units, whatever the mechanism that is, that actually steams the water, they may want to use something like RO water or distilled water that all the minerals have been taken out, because the apparatus that turns everything into steam could get very mineralized very quickly, it seems to me.
Yeah.
So, but that's, okay. I don't know, it's not my area. I guess right. I should, but I guess I need to look all that up. David, do you know anything about that?
Yeah. No, all I know is it's hard to get away from all that stuff, really. You know?
Yeah.
You have to have a really pure health spa that is in the know, and most of them are not in the know. You know, they think they're in the know, just like most people that think they're in the know, and they're so, I hate to use the word anal, but they're anal about drinking good water. They forget that they go home and shower in the crap that they won't drink.
Yes, exactly. You know, Yeah.
When I say that to people, they go, oh, wow, I didn't think about that. Well, you know, seriously, do something about it if you're really concerned. And the funny thing is most people don't do anything about it. You know, they just keep
mm-hmm.
showering in the crap that they won't drink.
Yep, exactly.
But,
yeah, as far as a lot of those spas go, I mean, I kind of put them in a similar category to restaurants. You know, restaurants are not in business to keep us healthy. They are in business to make money, and, you know,
right.
Buying less expensive ingredients is part of how they do that. And, you know, I'm sure most health spas, unless they have a greater mission, and it usually goes along with a higher price tag, they probably are looking for the least expensive way to get in business and make a profit. So, you know, they're probably
right.
not filtering the water if they can get away with it.
It's been known for a long time. I mean, I just pulled up this article on eWater. You know, it's called The Dangers of Chlorine in Your Shower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. It's like, it says, while many people are aware of the dangers of drinking unfiltered water, few consider the risks of showering in unfiltered water. And it says, research presented at the American Chemical Society in 1986 demonstrated that showering leads to greater exposure to toxic chemicals in tap water than drinking water does. You know, and then it goes on and on about the dangers of chlorine exposure and irritation of the eyes, sinuses, throat, and skin, aggravation to the lungs, excessive free radical formation, which results in accelerated aging, hardening of the arteries, difficulty metabolizing cholesterol, higher vulnerability to genetic mutations, development of cancer, and blah, 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 you know. So I'm big on this guy's shower filter. I mean, it's like 55 cents a day for the first year, you know, for a family of four, and then you change the filter, you know, in about a year, year and a half, and it ends up being like 27 cents a day for nice clean water.
Nice.
You know, and it doesn't just clean the water. It does a lot more than cleaning the water. It's a great technology.
Cool. Well, everybody, if there's no more, I apologize, but I'm going to have to kind of wrap it up and move on. I have something that is happening at 12:30, my time. But I did want to let everybody know that on Sunday the 22nd, if you're listening or you hear this here in Denver, I'm going to be doing another little gout talk, another little nutritional seminar at the Natural Grocers. That location is at Colorado and Evans. They have a really beautiful little conference room with a kitchen and everything, so it's a really great space. And that happens February 22nd, Sunday at 1 p.m. And then next Thursday we will have our call. I think I'm going to have to move these calls, though, to 1 o'clock, and then I will have my Google Hangout at 2 o'clock. So we're going to be talking about the paleo diet and gout in the Google Hangout next week. And I haven't come up with the topic for what the call is going to be next week. So if those sound good, please tune in one way or the other. And otherwise, thanks, everyone, for being on the call today.
Good information.
Right.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Big
all
aloha
right.
to you, Bert.
Thank you. See ya. Bye now.
All right. Bye.